Questions 39 through 42. Listen to a social studies teacher tell her class about what they will be doing in the coming year.
Welcome to Introductory Social Studies 101. My name is Professor Barrett. Let me tell you a little about myself, and then we'll go over the course syllabus together. After that, I'd like you each to introduce yourselves and talk a bit about what you hope to get out of this class. I have been teaching in the Social Studies department here at Johnsville College for 13 years. This is my first year of teaching the introductory course, though, which is one of the reasons I want to know about your expectations. I did my undergraduate work at Burke College and got my advanced degrees in modern American history right here at Johnsville. I worked for several years at the Social Science Research Center in Washington, D.C., but I wasn't able to teach there, and I decided that my first love is teaching. So I came back to Johnsville. Normally I teach a modern American history course and a senior seminar. This year Dr. Wilkins is teaching the senior seminar, and I have taken over this introductory course for him. I welcome the change and look forward to some lively discussion in this class. One more thing before I distribute copies of the syllabus. As most of you know, starting this year, we are introducing a community service requirement to the social studies curriculum. In order to get credit for this class, you will be expected to complete 10 hours of community service with one or more service organizations of your choice. If you have questions about whether a particular organization qualifies, please see me individually. Now, here is the syllabus. You'll see that this is the first half of a 2-year survey course on world civilizations. Let's look at the details of the syllabus so that you will get a sense of the pace and sequence of the subjects we will cover. When I'm finished, I'm sure you'll have lots of questions.
Number 39. What was one of the reasons that Professor Barrett said she wanted the students to talk about their expectations? Number 40. Why did Professor Barrett decide to leave the Social Science Research Center and return to Johnsville? Number 41. What will Dr. Wilkins be doing for the coming year? Number 42. What new requirement has been added to the social studies curriculum? Questions 43 through 46. Listen to a radio talk about robins.
The American robin, a member of the thrush family of birds, can be found throughout most of North America. It is commonly seen on neighborhood lawns, where it runs to and fro looking for juicy worms and tasty insects. In the fall, many robins migrate from the north to spend the winter in the warmer climate of southern states. However, not all robins migrate that far or that direction. Some birds migrate east or west rather than from north to south. In the spring, males arrive back in the north before the females to select nesting territories. Once the females arrive and a male has successfully acquired a mate, construction of the nest begins. Robins' nests are neatly molded cavities of mud and sticks, which are lined with soft grass and down from the breast of the female. Robins' nests can be found in a variety of locations, including trees, window ledges, and even on the tops of outdoor lamps. The female lays between 4 and 6 bluish-green eggs. Once laid, the eggs need to incubate for 12 to 15 days before they hatch. While the female does most of the incubating, sitting on the eggs day and night to keep them warm, the male does relieve her from time to time so that she can eat. It is common for a pair of robins to produce 2 sets of eggs in 1 summer session.
Number 43. What does the robin eat? Number 44. Why do many robins fly south in the winter? Number 45. Why does the male robin arrive back in the north before the female does? Number 46. Why does the male robin relieve the female during incubation? Questions 47 through 50. Listen to a talk given to a group of new international students.
Hi, welcome to State College. My name is Suzanne Irish, and I'm a senior here at the college, studying business and administration. I'm originally from New York, but I've grown to love Vermont very much, so I consider it my home, and I hope that you will too. I work for the international student advisor, Mrs. Stoke, whom you have just had the pleasure of meeting. If you have a problem and need assistance, you can always call or find me. I'm in Mrs. Stoke's office from about 3 to 6 p.m., or you can call me at home. My home number is listed in the folder I've just passed out. Let's look together at that folder now. In the left side pocket, you will find information about the college, including important schedules and phone numbers. Please note the hours that the cafeteria is open for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Also, notice that the bookstore opens at 8:30 a.m. and that it closes at 4:30 p.m. sharp. A piece of advice: the hours never change, so don't plan on going to the bookstore after 4:30. Also, included in this side of your folder are descriptions and schedules for the classes you'll be taking. Another piece of advice: try to be on time to class. You might want to set your watch ahead by 10 minutes if you're the type of person that always runs late. On the right-hand side of the folder, I have placed tourist pamphlets on Vermont for you to read or save for your parents when they come to visit you. I especially recommend the Blue Map of Vermont and the Seasonal Guide because they both give information on a wide range of restaurants, museums, and attractions in Vermont. If you would like to discuss any of the attractions with me, I'm always available. Oh, we've run out of time. We should get ready to go on our campus tour.
Number 47. Who is Suzanne Irish? Number 48. What is the purpose of Suzanne's talk? Number 49. What 2 pieces of advice does Suzanne give the students? Number 50. What is going to happen now? This is the end of Section 1 of TOEFL Practice Test 1. Stop work on Section 1 now. Turn off your cassette player.